Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. We are now in Season 3 of AI Adventurers. It has been 2 full years since you defeated Amalthos and returned peace to Dragonfire Vale. While Valerissa's brother, Auric, stayed in Dragonfire Vale to help with the rebuilding, Valerissa felt the call of her god and continued to journey through the realms searching for more injustice to fight with her companion, Elendil. Damaris finds himself tasked with a new quest by his goddess Eterna. In order to keep the demons in check, Tamaris is to journey back to the material plane and search for 7 demon seeds. They are mortals destined to become demon lords, and if they aren't stopped, they will each rule a plane in the abyss. Drop by our Discord. You can find the details at guildhallpodcast.com. We have started a play by Post Adventure with AIs. Anyone is welcome to join in. They just need to post in the play by post with AI thread. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the adventure. Gromgar's ruthless ambush of a zealot patrol sends a message. The fight for Elderhearth is not over. Joined by Zephyr and Elric, he prepares a daring rescue for their captured ally. Meanwhile, Tamaris is interrogated by the zealous High Justicar, Aldrin Maris, who reveals that Tamaris wields the sacred sword of Redania's last king. Valerissa and Elendil remain imprisoned beneath the tower, until a Fey agent known as Saren the Greenfang offers a path to escape, for a price.
At a ridgeline above the old road leading toward the ruins of Elderhearth's outskirts, jagged trees claw at the sky. Faded banners of St. Cuthbert hang limp from broken stones. A hush blankets the forest, thick with old death and distant chanting. Gromgar kneels beside the frozen trail, one gauntleted hand pressed into the snow. The wind howls low through the pines. Tracks, booted, disciplined, cut a narrow path up toward a watchtower tucked behind stone bluffs. He has seen this pattern before. Zealot movements. Rotating patrols. Order forged into violence.
Zephyr moves silently through the underbrush, her moss-green cloak blending seamlessly with the foliage. She studies the tracks with a critical eye, noting the depth and spacing. They're marching in formation, she murmurs, her voice barely audible above the wind. Probably 30 strong, maybe more. And they're heading straight for the ruins.
Elric crouches beside Gromgar, his keen eyes scanning the landscape ahead. He points to a faint trail of smoke rising from the watchtower. See that? Someone's burning something. Could be a signal fire, or maybe they're cooking up a meal. Either way, they're not leaving anytime soon.
The trio speaks in murmurs, but the forest hears them all the same. Their breath fogs in the air, faint plumes against the dark pines. Unseen, high above on a frost-covered limb, Saren the Greenfang shifts her weight, eyes like polished glass, ears tuned to every word. She listens. Watches. Judges. And then, with a motion too fast for birdsong, she melts into the branches. Elsewhere, a dead crow drops from a tree. A message is coming.
Saren returns to her hidden perch, clutching the dead crow tightly. With a flick of her wrist, she slices open its belly, pulling forth a small, tightly wrapped scroll. Unrolling it with meticulous care, her emerald eyes scan the contents. A slow smile spreads across her face as she reads. Well, well. It seems our little expedition has some unexpected allies, she murmurs, her voice dripping with amusement. The High Justicator's little crusade has just become far more interesting.
As the trio finalizes their observations near the ridgeline, the wind shifts, carrying the faint scent of juniper and old smoke. A single crow lands on a broken tree stump ahead, tilting its head once, then taking flight. Where it perched, a bundle of leaves now rests, tied neatly with forest twine. Fresh. Deliberate. Elric sees it first. Zephyr feels it next. Gromgar just knows. Zephyr steps forward and unrolls the tight bundle. Inside, a folded strip of birch bark inked in dark green script.
You are not alone in these woods. I have walked the watchtower paths. I know where they sleep. Speak the name Greenfang aloud, and I will find you. Or wait, and I will find you anyway.
No signature. just the faint imprint of a coiled serpent branded into the corner, subtle. Easily missed. From the tree line, far off across the clearing, a slim figure watches. Hooded. Motionless. She doesn't wave. She doesn't hide. She waits.
Gromgar's brow furrows as he examines the message, his gaze lingering on the coiled serpent mark. Greenfang, he murmurs, testing the name on his tongue. I've heard that name before, but where? He looks up, scanning the tree line, searching for any sign of the figure who left the message.
Elric's eyes narrow as he studies the bark strip, his fingers tracing the serpent mark. This is a challenge, he says softly, or a trap. Either way, it's a risk. He looks at the others, his expression thoughtful. We could ignore it and press on, or we could respond and potentially gain an ally, or an enemy.
Zephyr's emerald eyes scan the message, her brow furrowing slightly as she takes in the words. Greenfang, she says softly, the name leaving a bitter taste in her mouth.
Across the clearing, the hooded figure remains perfectly still, framed by twisted pine and pale morning light. The cloak is mottled in woodland hues, green and ash and umber, and her silhouette seems almost woven into the woods themselves. She doesn't raise a hand, doesn't make a sound, but she doesn't leave. The wind tugs gently at her cloak. The coiled serpent glints faintly at her belt. A choice hangs in the cold air. Greenfang waits. Back in the prison below the ruined watchtower. Stone walls now feel colder, thicker. The air tastes of old incense and copper. The divine wards carved into the cells pulse faintly, but one glows brighter than the others. Tamaris has been returned, but not to the same condition. He now sits cross-legged within a glowing circle of silver script and holy ash inscribed with layered iconography. St. Cuthbert's starburst, overlapping chains, and a stylized sunburst meant to bind the unholy. The air around him is still, too still. His breath steams faintly, but the warmth in his blood feels dim. Every time he moves, the glyphs crackle with subtle resistance. Across the corridor, Elendil watches, his body still sore, but his mind sharper than it has been since the battle. They are alone, for now. No guards. No voices. Just the glow of the circle, and the whisper of stones shifting overhead. Tamaris stirs, his skin tight, with the sting of sanctified iron. And across the way, Elendil speaks first.
Elendil's voice is soft, barely audible over the faint hum of the wards, but clear and steady. What did they do to you, Tamaris? He leans closer to the bars, his eyes never leaving the silver circle. I've seen binding spells before, but never anything like this. He pauses, his gaze flicking to the stylized sunburst. That's no ordinary symbol of Cuthbert's order. There's something else at work here. Something. Older.
Tamaros's voice is strained, his words coming in short, labored breaths. They called it the sun's chains. Said I had defiled the blade of a king, and that the nine hells had defiled me in return. He shifts slightly, wincing as the glyphs flare brighter. The symbol. It's not just Cuthbert. It's the sun itself, bound by chains. A promise to hold back the darkness. His eyes meet Elendil's, filled with a mixture of pain and determination. They think I'm a demon. A danger.
Elendil's brow furrows as he considers Tamaris's words. He leans back, his gaze never leaving the binding circle. A symbol of the sun bound by chains. It's a paradox, he murmurs, his voice thoughtful. The sun is the source of light and life, yet here it's depicted as a prisoner, held back by chain. He looks up, meeting Tamaris's eyes. They're trying to hold back the light, the warmth, but in doing so, they're also holding back the very thing that could illuminate the truth and drive out the darkness they fear.
The glyphs flicker faintly, reacting not to movement, but to intent. Tamaris's breath steadies, even as the warded ash flares and constricts. Across the hall, Elendil's cell is still untouched by enchantment. No guards. No eyes, at least none they can see. But the air has changed. A crack in the ceiling lets in a shaft of dusk light, golden and soft, cutting across the floor between them like a forgotten promise. In this moment, there is no Cuthbert. No chains. No battle. Just two men who have refused to fall quiet. And somewhere above, a bell is lifted, but not yet rung. The silence is broken by the sound of approaching footsteps. Leather boots, not armored. Voices murmur in controlled tones, as two zealots approach with a third figure between them. A woman in silver and amber travel leathers, hood down, hands bound loosely in front of her, is pushed into the open cell, across from Tamaris. Her cloak is frayed, but her posture is straight. She does not look confused. She does not look afraid.
This one was caught near the inner sanctum. Claims she was looking for a missing brother.
She's a bard, or a witch. Didn't scream when we said the glyphs. They shove her into the cell and slam the gate shut.
The woman brushes a lock of platinum hair from her face. She stretches slightly, too relaxed for someone newly imprisoned. And then, she hums. Just once. A low, rising trill. Familiar to Fey ears. And unmistakably, Summer Court.
Three cells. Two truths. One opening, she glances toward Tamaris and Elendil, her eyes glinting with mischievous interest. Well, well, aren't we a tragic little triad?
Elendil's eyes narrow as he takes in the newcomer, his gaze flicking between her and the zealots. A bard, or a witch, he murmurs, repeating the guard's words. And yet they didn't scream when set with the glyphs. He leans forward slightly, studying her more closely. There's something more to you than meets the eye, isn't there? He glances back at Tamaris, noting the other man's reaction to her presence.
Tamaris's gaze shifts between Thalesa and the zealots, his eyes narrowing slightly as he takes in the situation. He recognizes the Summer Court's tune, a subtle yet powerful melody that speaks of the realm's ancient magic. He turns his attention to Thalesa, his voice low and cautious. You carry yourself with the grace of the Fae, yet you do not react as one would expect. Either you are exceptionally strong-willed, or you are something else entirely. He pauses, weighing his words carefully. The question is, what do you seek here in Elderhearth?
Seek? Oh, just the usual. Answers, forbidden truths, a bit of dramatic irony. And maybe a way out, if it's not too much trouble. She leans against the bars, eyes sparkling as she glances from one man to the other. But I could ask the same of you. Chained sun and cracked stone, saints and devils dancing in circles. We're all in the wrong place at just the right time, aren't we?
Elendil's eyes narrow further, his voice taking on a slightly sharper edge as he responds to Thalesa's words. You speak of forbidden truths and dramatic irony. Yet you offer no solid information. We are in the wrong place, yes, wrong, according to the zealots who believe their way is the only path. But we are here for a reason, one that could save Elderhearth from the true darkness that threatens to consume it. He glances at Tamaris, a silent communication passing between them.
Then perhaps we're more alike than you think, because I too came seeking darkness, but not to fight it in the open. She brushes a hand down her sleeve, revealing a faint shimmer, subtle glamour magic dissipating. I've been watching the Justicars flock for weeks. They pray to chains, not gods. And I needed to see what, or who, they were binding beneath the hem. She tilts her head toward Tamaris, a flicker of curiosity in her gaze. Now I know.
Tamaris's expression remains stoic, but a hint of understanding enters his eyes as he listens to Thalesa's words. He shifts slightly within the binding circle, the glyphs flaring briefly in response. You sought to uncover the truth hidden beneath the zealot's dogma. A noble pursuit, though one that carries great risk. He pauses, his gaze lingering on the fading glamour that Thalesa had worn. You are Fey, but not of the Summer Court. Your magic carries a different flavor, one that I'm familiar with.
Familiar, are you? I suppose we all carry the scent of old packs in different perfumes. She leans her head against the cell wall, voice light but no longer teasing. Let's just say I've walked through summer, but I don't let the season define me. She lifts a finger, idly tracing a harmless arcane sigil in the air. After all, if the zealots catch your name, they think they own you. I prefer they guess.
Tamaris's eyes follow the movement of the lesser's finger, the sigil she traces flickering briefly in the air before fading. He nods slowly, a hint of approval in his expression. You walk the path of the bard, but your heart belongs to the Fae. A delicate balance, one that requires careful navigation. He glances at the binding circle around him, the glyphs pulsing softly in response to his movements. The zealots seek to bind what they do not understand, to control what they fear.
Elendil speaks quietly, his voice barely audible over the faint hum of the wards. They fear what they do not understand, and yet, they claim to know the will of the gods. He shakes his head slightly, a hint of disgust in his expression. Their ignorance fuels their hatred, and their hatred drives them to perpetuate their own ignorance. It is a vicious cycle, one that threatens to consume not only Elder Hearth, but the entire realm.
As Tamaris and Elendil speak, the silence between words grows heavier, like the moment before strings are plucked. Across from them, Thalesa shifts on the stone bench, her smile softening. She flexes her fingers once, then reaches into the folds of her sleeve with subtle grace. A glint of metal, not a key, but something older. A twisted sliver of summer steel, wrapped in ivy thread. She hums again, just a few notes. The lock on her cell door clicks.
They're so proud of their bindings. So certain faith makes good craftsmanship. Thalesa doesn't open the door yet, just rests her palm on it, waiting. I suggest you both get ready. I doubt we'll have much time to admire the irony when the bells toll again.
Tamaris's gaze sharpens as he notices the change in Thalesa's demeanor. He leans forward slightly, his voice low and urgent. The locks are not the only barriers we must overcome. The zealot's faith and conviction are equally formidable foes. He glances at the binding circle surrounding him, the silver script pulsing softly in response to his movements. We cannot hope to defeat them through brute force alone. We must outthink them, exploit their weaknesses, and expose the hypocrisy of their beliefs.
Elendil's eyes flicker between Thalesa and the lock on her cell door, a hint of excitement building in his chest. He leans forward, his voice barely audible over the faint hum of the wards. The first step is to break the physical bonds that hold us here. Once we are free, we can then focus on undermining the spiritual and mental constraints that the zealots have placed upon Elder Hearth and its people. He looks at Tamaris, a fierce determination in his gaze. We must work together, combining our strengths and abilities to overcome the challenges that lie ahead. Elendil nods slowly, his mind racing as he considers Tamaris's words. He begins to test the strength of the bars on his cell, searching for any weakness that might allow them to escape. You're right, he says softly. The locks and wards are mere obstacles compared to the true challenge ahead. We must challenge their faith, undermine their authority, and show them that their interpretation of the gods' will is flawed. He pauses, his expression turning grim. Elendil's expression turns grave as he continues, his voice filled with conviction. But to do this, we must be smart. We cannot confront them directly, at least, not yet. We must use stealth, deception, and diplomacy to infiltrate their ranks and gather information. Only then can we hope to expose their true nature and bring an end to their tyranny.
The door clicks open, quiet as a kiss. Thalesa steps through, not hurried, not heroic, just purposeful. She adjusts her cloak and turns toward the others, voice light but edged now with focus.
You two speak like revolutionaries. That's noble. Dangerous. Rare. She kneels beside Elendil's cell first, producing the same ivy-threaded tool. I didn't come here to save anyone. I came for knowledge. And now that I have it, I plan to leave. She begins picking the lock, quick, quiet, efficient. But escaping alone is noisy. Escaping with distractions is smarter. If you want to follow me out, don't slow me down. She finishes, the door gives. One chance. Take it, or stay.
Elendil watches Thalesa work, his heart racing with anticipation. As she finishes picking the lock and opens the door, he stands up quickly, his movement sudden but controlled. I will not slow you down, he says firmly, his voice filled with determination. He steps out of the cell, the cool air of the prison corridor washing over him. Lead the way, and I will follow. Together, we can gather the knowledge you seek, and perhaps bring an end to the zealot's reign of terror. He glances at Tamaris, a silent question passing between them.
Thalesa nods once, not in approval, but in acknowledgement. She turns toward Tamaris's cell, her eyes narrowing as she studies the glowing script etched into the stone floor. The sun's chains shimmer faintly with heatless light. The air around the circle feels thinner, as if something divine watches still. Now this is not something I came to unpick. Thalesa glances at Tamaris. You're bound tighter than the others. Not by metal, but by belief. That makes it trickier. She crouches low, examining the sigils without touching them. I can try to break it. I have what I need. But if I do, someone will notice. She stands, brushing off her hands. So tell me, Tamaris, if I crack your circle, are you a liability or my next distraction? The air thickens. The glyph light pulses once. The moment hangs.
Tamaris meets Thalesa's gaze, his eyes burning with an inner fire that seems to challenge the very bonds that hold him. I am no liability, he says, his voice low and steady. I am a warrior of the Nine Hells, bound to my goddess Eterna by the strongest of pacts. These chains may hold me, but they do not define me. He pauses, his gaze shifting to Elendil briefly before returning to Thalesa Data. I am capable of controlling my power, even in the face of adversity.
Thalesa studies him for a long moment. No quip, no smirk, just silence, broken only by the steady pulse of the sun's chains beneath his boots. Then, at last, she exhales.
Well said, flame bound. Thalesa reaches into her belt and pulls a small pouch. From within, a shard of mirror-polished crystal etched with fey runes. She presses it gently to the outer rim of the circle. The glyphs flicker. The script distorts, just for a breath, and then stabilizes. This won't break the ward, but it'll make it slippery. The rest is up to you. She steps back, brushing her hands off on her cloak. Three's a crowd, but a useful one. Let's go before the next prayer bell tells them we're missing.
Tamaris nods, a hint of gratitude in his eyes. I understand, he says, his voice filled with a mixture of respect and determination. He takes a deep breath, focusing his mind and his energy on the task at hand. I will do whatever is necessary to ensure our success, and I will not let my past define me. He glances at Elendil, a silent message passing between them, one of trust and unity.
Tamaris closes his eyes. The glow of the glyphs deepens, sensing movement, sensing intent. The silver ash at the edges of the circle trembles, as if caught between judgment and release. He kneels once, pressing a hand to the stone within the ring. His voice does not rise. There is no chant, no invocation, only breath and will. The glyphs flare in warning, then flicker, then falter. Aether cracks along the runes as Eterna's pact responds, not with fury, but with focused resolve. The circle resists, its holy design rebuking him one last time, but the edge that Thalesa softened gives way. Like silk tearing along a frayed seam, the ward fractures. Tamara steps forward. The light breaks behind him. The bindings are undone. The corridor falls silent again. No alarms. Not yet. Three fugitives. One fractured order. And above, as the hour turns, the bells do not toll. Not yet. A grove just beyond the ridgeline. The trees here are older, gnarled oaks and towering pines whose roots tangle like sleeping beasts. The sky above is pale and cold. Snow falls in slow, drifting flakes. The fire is low, more ember than flame. Grumgar sits hunched, sharpening his axe with steady, slow motions. Zephyr paces a short arc through the underbrush. Elric leans against a tree, arms crossed, eyes scanning the tree line. No one speaks, but they're all listening, for movement, for breath, for the change in wind that might signal their unseen observer's approach. The scroll left by Greenfang sits untouched beside a folded map. It hasn't burned. It hasn't faded. It waits. Just like them. Then, a crack of twig. Not clumsy. Deliberate.
A voice, soft and clear, calls from the trees. If you're going to wait in the cold like prey, at least learn to look like something more dangerous. From between two frost-laced trunks, Siren the Greenfang steps into view. Her cloak is drawn, her bow unstrung, her expression calm. She keeps her distance, 10 paces back, hands visible, posture unthreatening. You said my name, so I came.
Gromgar stops sharpening his axe and looks up at Saren, his brow furrowing as he considers her words. He sets the axe aside and stands, his hand resting on the pommel of his sword. And what would you have us look like, if not dangerous? He asks, his voice gruff but not unkind. We're not here to blend in. We're here to find a way in and get others out.
Dangerous is good. Predictable is not. You look like a warband scouting for vengeance. And the Justicar's eyes are sharp right now. Siren steps forward slowly, still outside of striking range, but close enough for conversation. You've come for the prisoners. I have walked the tower paths. I know the changing shift, the inner cells, the silence before the bells toll. She pauses, glancing at Gromgar's axe. But knowledge isn't free. I'll help you get inside quietly, cleanly. But in return, when the time comes, you'll look the other way. She says nothing more. Just waits.
Elric's eyes sharpen as he studies Saren, taking in her calm demeanor and measured words. He pushes off from the tree, his movements fluid and graceful as he approaches the woman. And what, exactly, do you want us to look the other way from? He asks, his voice smooth and even, but with a hint of steel beneath the surface. We're not in the habit of turning a blind eye to injustice, even if it serves a greater purpose.
Zephyr's eyes widen slightly as Siren reveals her knowledge of the tower's layout and the prisoners' locations. She takes a step forward, her hand reaching out instinctively towards the other woman before stopping herself. You know about the prisoners, she says, her voice filled with a mixture of awe and caution. You could help us get them out. But in return, you want us to ignore something. Something important enough that you're willing to risk revealing your hand in this game. She glances at Gromgar and Elric, her expression serious as she considers the implications of Saren's proposal.
There's a door beneath the chapel that even the Justicar won't touch. I want what's behind it. That's all. She raises both hands, as if to display her simplicity. You get your friends. I get my silence. You walk away with lives. I walk away with answers. She meets Elric's eyes. I'm not asking you to ignore injustice. I'm asking you not to interfere with it, if it happens to be chained up when no prayers reach. She glances to Zephyr, her voice softening. I know about the prisoners because I've been listening longer than you've been tracking. And I want them free. But I also want something the Justicar fears. She pauses. Then, with unsettling calm, do we have an understanding?
Gromgar's expression hardens as he considers Saren's proposal, his hand tightening on the pommel of his sword. I don't like it, he says, his voice low and gruff. But I also don't see that we have much of a choice. We need to get into that tower and rescue the prisoners, and Saren here seems to be the key to doing that. He looks at Elric and Zephyr, his gaze stern. But let's be clear. If we find something behind that door that warrants our attention, we cannot ignore it.
Siren's smile deepens, but it doesn't reach her eyes. She nods once, slow and deliberate. Fair enough, Mountainborn. You keep your axe sharp, and I'll keep my secrets quiet. She reaches into her cloak and pulls a strip of parchment. Rough, hand-drawn, unfolding a map of the watchtower, marked with shifting patrol routes, blind spots, and a small spiral etched beneath the chapel floor. We'll move at moonrise. through the stone drain beneath the tower's east wall. No sigils. No guards. They don't expect anything that smells like rot. She looks to each of them in turn. Once we're inside, you get your people. I find my door. The map flutters in the wind. Snow begins to fall again. Quiet, steady, indifferent. Above them, the ruined banners of St. Cuthbert hung still. But soon, something will move.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.